Okay, we're going to start the message if we are ready over there. Hey, Eric gave me the thumbs up. Thank you, Eric. Let's just pray before we start this message. They're all important, but this one has really been on my heart. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, thank you that when we seek you, we will find you, Lord. And this morning, we want to seek you with all our hearts. And also, Lord, we pray you would anoint this message, take over this service. Holy Spirit, we're going to speak about you. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, and may this morning be the beginning, Lord, of a renewal, a revival, and a renewal in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, during the past couple of weeks, while speaking about wanting to be like Jesus, we discussed his qualities, his character and personality. In this discussion, we spoke about the infinite love and compassion in that great, great heart of Jesus. We were speaking that when he could have judged the woman caught in adultery, he didn't. In our discussion, we spoke about his willingness to forgive even those who nailed him to the cross. We spoke about the values of Jesus that we should have in our lives. When we read about Jesus, it's not just to read about him, but to absorb his qualities. Regarding humility, no one ever humbled himself the way Jesus did. No one ever did. Not only did he leave his throne in heaven and come down to that dirty manger, he lived a life of humility. He was poor. He was rejected, as you read in Isaiah. The Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers of that day were always antagonizing him. When he went to heal somebody, they picked on him. They were always picking on Jesus. Then you read in the Gospel of John, people got offended with Jesus, and they walked no more with him. Jesus led a life of suffering and humility. No one ever humbled himself the way Jesus did. And he was referred to as the carpenter's son. I mean, he didn't even have his own identity at that point. The carpenter's son. Want to say he's Jesus, son of God. The carpenter's son, they called him. In our discussion, we spoke about the phenomenal effect that Jesus had on people and still has on those who sincerely accept him into his or her life. Yes, Jesus had a phenomenal effect on people, and we can still see it today. How many lives has he changed, including our own? If we want and should want to possess these qualities of Jesus, we need to seek the baptism or refilling of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus. If you want his qualities, you want the Holy Spirit to come in and fill you, as Joey was praying this morning. Then you could have his qualities in you. The Spirit of Jesus coming in you, you could have the qualities that we spoke about in the past couple of weeks. This morning, I would like to speak about appreciation for the Holy Spirit. And also, the question, has the Holy Spirit been neglected in churches and on an individual level? Those of us that have been baptized, what have we done with the Holy Spirit? To use our expression, put him on the back burner. Have we ignored the Holy Spirit? Have we done the work in our lives that Jesus wants us to do through the power that he has given us through the Holy Spirit? Are we hungry for refilling? Are we hungry to be baptized, those who have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the life of the church. And this church, Belleville Church, is dead without the Holy Spirit. It's a very serious message this morning. This church is dead without the Holy Spirit. So we have to wake up and seek a revival, refilling of the Holy Spirit. pray for a revitalization of this church. These pews could be full. Pray for a revitalization of this church, a refilling of the Holy Spirit, because only the Holy Spirit could do it. The Holy Spirit is the head of the church. Pray for a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Pray for a revival in this church. Pray for a revitalization in this church. Those of you who remember this church years back in previous ministries, we had to put chairs up on the side. So many people had come. And people would seek the Lord. They would get baptized by the dozen. We need to be seeking the Lord. You know, the devil has lulled the church to sleep. Oh, just go to church. And know what the devil makes you do? He makes you plateau. Oh, you received of the Lord. You go to church. That's enough. No, it's not. In the Lord, enough never comes. Enough never comes. We cannot plateau. You can't plateau in the ways of the Lord, because there's always more of Him to receive. But you have to be hungry, as we sang this morning. We are hungry. We're hungry for you. Are we hungry for the Lord this morning? What place does the Holy Spirit have in the Christian church? What place does He have in some Pentecostal churches? I know of a church, a woman came in and she was speaking in tongues. She walked in a so-called Pentecostal church. The minister went up to her and said, "We don't do that over here. This isn't a Pentecostal church. We never want, that will not happen here. I'm telling you right now, that will never happen here. Because we need and we welcome the Holy Spirit with open hearts." How many Christian churches still believe in speaking in tongues as evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Some people think that's odd to speak in tongues. We're going to discuss that during the next couple of weeks. Periodically, we need to remember and refresh our knowledge of the Holy Spirit and His ministry. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? Okay, so let's begin this topic with, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a person, even though some people may mistakenly refer to Him using the pronoun it. People say, oh, they got it. He got it when they were baptized. No, they got Him. They received the Holy Spirit into their lives. The Holy Spirit is nothing less than God. And He is specifically called God in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 reads, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. "Now the Lord is the Spirit." Holy Spirit is God. "And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." God's attributes are in Him. He is eternal, almighty, omnipresent, all-knowing. He searches and reveals. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. "For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." So therefore, all the more, we want the Spirit of God in us. This says, "Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." So we want the Spirit of God in us. We want the thoughts, we want to know the thoughts of God. He is willing to reveal them to us through His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a source of virtues. The night before He was crucified, Jesus taught His disciples about the qualities and work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, knowing that he would be leaving the earth, wanted to give his disciples the most important information that they would need. We read about it in John chapter 14. I'll read it to you. John 14, verses 16 to 18. The night before Jesus died, he told his disciples, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now notice the distinction in verse 16 here. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit is with you in your life when you first accept the Lord, but then when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, here's the distinction, he comes in right inside of you. In the original Greek translation of the New Testament, the word parakletos is used to describe the Holy Spirit. What does parakletos mean? Translated, kletos means called. Para means alongside. So the Holy Spirit is called alongside the believer to give help, advice, and counsel. Some biblical translations use the title comforter, as we heard in the King James Version. They use comforter for the translation of parakletos, as we read in the King James Version. In John chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the comforter several times. So if you're really interested in learning about the Holy Spirit, Jesus spoke a lot about the Holy Spirit in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. I'm going to touch on a couple of verses in these chapters, but I would advise of you, those of you who are interested, when you go home during the week, read John chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 16. Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit the night before he was going to be crucified. The Holy Spirit is the best, the closest friend that you could ever have. In our time, the Holy Spirit has been described in song. In the hymn, "Fill Me Now," that we sang this morning, he is described as gracious. And gracious means merciful, compassionate, and kind. That's who the Holy Spirit is. Gracious, he's merciful, he's compassionate, and he's kind. The Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet, sweet spirit. In the song, "Blessed Quietness," he is referred to as the heavenly guest. He brings streams of life in the lonely wilderness. And how many times has the Holy Spirit done that in someone's life? In the hymn, "Holy Spirit, Light Divine," that hymn describes the Holy Spirit as light divine, power divine, joy divine. How is the Holy Spirit represented? He's represented by symbols of a dove, fire, oil, water, living water, and wind. How about symbolism of a dove? Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit is represented by wind. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. We pray that that would happen right here. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The Holy Spirit is symbolized by fire. Acts chapter 2, verse 3. And there appeared unto them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. Now continue with the idea of the Holy Spirit being represented by a symbol of fire. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Remember, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate event from accepting the Lord into your life. The Holy Spirit is represented by oil. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. This didn't just happen in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. I can remember about 30 years ago, someone was praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit up here by the altar. He was on this side. I can still picture it. And he told me later on, he said, I felt like there was warm oil coming all over my body. And he started speaking in tongues. That warm oil was the Holy Spirit. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit at that point. So what we're reading about is still true and relevant today. The Holy Spirit is symbolized by water. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. Jesus speaking. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So this verse says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Well, like I said, it's not just in biblical times. It's relevant today. When I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, I felt a sensation down around my abdominal area. I just felt the sensation rise up inside of me. When it got to my neck, my mouth was out of control, speaking in tongues. It's relevant today. And Jesus wants to give this living water, whether it's initial baptism or refilling of the Holy Spirit, he wants to give this living water more than we want to receive it. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Speaking to the Samaritan woman, Jesus said, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. What are the works of the Holy Spirit? Well, one of them is teaching. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. The Holy Spirit teaches and makes the Bible come alive. You can read a verse many times, and each time the Holy Spirit can bring a new meaning that you have not seen before. The Holy Spirit also stimulates your memory and brings virtues to your mind in time of need. Now, I've mentioned this before, but it's pertinent now. We all know that before my father passed, he had dementia, and it was getting quite serious. And maybe it was a day or two before, Sharon might remember, he recited Psalm 100. It was maybe a couple of days before. Now, this is when, a couple of days before the Lord took him, he had serious dementia. He recited Psalm 100, all five or six verses, whatever it is, no Bible in front of him. See, the Holy Spirit teaches you. And in your spirit does not get dementia. My father recited Psalm 100, all five verses, not an open Bible in front of him. The Holy Spirit reproves and convicts. John chapter 16, verse 8. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And the Holy Spirit convicts on the personal level. If something is wrong, he'll let us know about it. The Holy Spirit regenerates, and boy, do we need regeneration and renewing. John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Renewing. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He saved us not because of righteous things which we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So the Holy Spirit renews us. He refills us. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And that took quite a bit of boldness because the day before, they were getting arrested for speaking about the Lord, and the Lord used them to heal that lame man. And the rulers of the day didn't like it. So for them to speak with boldness took a lot of courage. It only came through the Holy Spirit. And at this time, the disciples had already been filled with the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. So what we read here in Acts chapter 4 is a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Those of us who have been baptized maybe many years ago must remember that we need a continual refilling of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit does not stop with the initial baptism. We cannot neglect the Holy Spirit. It's not that, oh, I was baptized, now I could sit back. No, the Holy Spirit wants to use you in bringing the kingdom of God and spreading the kingdom of God on this planet. Now, continuing with the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prays and intercedes. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit comforts. How important is that? How many times do we need to be comforted? John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. The Holy Spirit comforts you during your deepest sorrow. He's great at soothing your hurts. The Holy Spirit guides you into all truth, revealing Jesus and our Heavenly Father. Again, Jesus speaking the night before his crucifixion, John chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus, and reveals God the Father. The Holy Spirit empowers. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Just before his ascension, Jesus told his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you." The success rate of Teen Challenge is high, as we know. It's somewhere between 80 and 85% success rate of Teen Challenge. You know why it's so high? Because Teen Challenge is depending on the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit testifies. John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." In a court case, a witness will testify about what he has seen and heard. He or she bears witness of the truth or the facts of the incident that's on trial. Even so, no one could testify or witness of Jesus like the Holy Spirit. It is not only your words, but also your actions which witness for Jesus. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, your words and your actions will testify of him. That we could read about. We could turn to Acts chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 8 to 13. Acts chapter 4 and verses 8 to 13, you could see how the works of Peter and John and their life testified of Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verses 8 to 13. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.'" Watch this, verse 13. "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." See, their actions witnessed of Jesus because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want to be a genuine witness for Jesus, get filled, get baptized with the Holy Spirit. What a testimony Peter and John had. Imagine if people could see in our lives that we are filled with the Holy Spirit and that we have spent time with Jesus. The Holy Spirit equips the believer for service. He gives gifts to believers that are to be used in the service of the Lord. And a discussion of these gifts can be found in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, that's another message, a couple of messages in itself. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if you want to read about them, are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14. I'm going to stop there for now. There's much more we could say about the Holy Spirit. We will continue, God willing, next week. So I would appreciate if you would come and continue to learn about the Holy Spirit. It's always a good reminder, because you can never get enough of the Holy Spirit. He's God. He's infinite. There's always more we could learn about him. So we're going to get down to pray now. And if anyone would like to pray to conclude the message, and then we'll sing a last hymn.
Sent this for each and every one of us. But let us come into thy presence with a fervency, Lord Jesus, to seek you out with all our hearts, Lord, because then we will receive, Lord. For it is that rushing mighty wind, Lord, that could help us to rise above any situation in our life. And it is the oil that soothes the hurts and calms the fears in our lives, Lord Jesus. And it is the powerful fire that consumes all that does not belong. And when we need comfort and when we need healing, it is there for us, Lord Jesus. It is the very being of you, Lord. So we pray this morning, Lord, that we would truly seek you with all our heart and with all our mind, because it is only then that we will find you, Lord. It is only then that your spirit, Lord, will come into our lives. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even when you left this earth, you left us the comforter. You left your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would never be alone. We would never be without you, Lord, that we would never not feel your presence, Lord. So we thank you this morning that through your Holy Spirit, Lord, we feel your very presence. The Holy Spirit, Lord, that will lead us, that will guide us, that will teach us, Lord. And we pray this morning that we would take hold of your spirit and all its attributes in our lives, Lord. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to have a greater understanding of your love, a greater understanding of who you are in our life, Lord Jesus. Let us meditate more upon your word, Lord. I pray that you close out all the noise of this life, Lord Jesus. There are so many things that cumber our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, Lord. But I pray that through your Holy Spirit, we would be washed and we would be cleansed. And your blood would empower us to overcome, Lord Jesus, because of ourselves, we cannot do it. But it is through the power of your blood that was shed on Calvary, Lord. It is through your Holy Spirit, Lord, because you said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, Lord. And it is through your love and through your power that we could truly overcome whatever comes our way in this life, Lord. So this morning we pray that you would illuminate our minds, that you would open our spiritual eyes, our hearing, Lord, our spiritual hearing, that we would hear your voice alone. And Lord, I pray for anyone here, Lord, who needs healing of the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. Lord, that you would be with them and that you would once again reveal yourselves to each and every one of us, Lord. And Lord, that we would rest knowing that you are our God, you are our King, and you are our Lord, and that is everything that is in our life is under your control if we surrender ourselves to you, Lord. So we thank you for this confidence that we have, Lord, and we pray that we would continue to trust and have faith in all that you are in our lives and all that you do, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we would continue to worship you and praise you, not just for who you are, but for a deep love within each and every one of our hearts for you, Lord. So we pray that you would remain within each and every one of us, and as we go our separate ways this week, Lord, that we would carry your love, and that we would be a shining light. And as we have heard, Lord, that just through our actions and our deeds, Lord, that others can say we have truly been with Jesus. We thank you for your love, and we continue to praise and worship you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.